Luke 9:57. We're going to read down through verse 62. 57 through 62. There are two words in these verses that repeated twice. It was repeated in verse 59 and verse number 61. And I'll emphasize those as we read. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, speaking to Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Sound like a pretty good testimony, don't it? Yeah. I want you to listen to the response. Jesus is about to speak to three different men, this being the first. And I have struggled with these scriptures my entire Christian life. It sounds like Jesus is very, very harsh in his response to these three men. And I saw something I believe helped me understand why. This first one said, I'd follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We've heard that verse. We've heard and quoted Jesus say, foxes have holes and birds have nests, Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. But in context of this conversation, that's a pretty crude answer. The man said, Lord, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said, oh yeah? Did you know foxes have holes and birds have nests? But this one you're wanting to follow don't even have nowhere to sleep tonight. That was his response. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? Do you want to follow me? Now, this man wanted to arrive where Jesus arrived. But Jesus said, I'm not so sure you want to travel the way I'm traveling to get there. Is that not contrary to what most of these TV preachers are spouting? Yeah. Health and wealth. It's hard to read the Bible and get that kind of doctrine. Well, verse 59, here's the second one. And he said unto another, Jesus speaking to another, follow me. Made that statement many times to the disciples. But he said, this is the response, Lord, suffer me first. Suffer me first. Me first. Me first. Suffer me first. See them two words? Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Sounds like a pretty simple request. I mean, in this day, when people died, you didn't have long to bury them. Remember Lazarus? He'd been dead 4 days and stinking. They didn't have embalming fluid and all this stuff. So obviously, this man's daddy just died. And Jesus said to him, after he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, verse 60, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now you be honest. Does that not sound pretty harsh? I mean, a man's wanting to go bury his daddy that just died. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Oh, it's going to get worse. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first, go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Listen to Jesus' response to him. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That is, whatever you feel or think about this, that is a very interesting conversation. Jesus and these three men. Wouldn't you agree? That does not portray Jesus as this feminine, hippie-looking guy that you see portrayed in picture in Hollywood or on pictures. Or even some soft-spoken preacher. That's hard. That's a hard saying. Matter of fact, it's three hard sayings that he addressed these men. And I've always wondered, why was he so... Let me give you a contrast. Go to I wasn't going to read this, but I read it earlier today. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 19, I think. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. I don't have you turn your Bibles a whole lot, but it ain't going to hurt you to do it this evening. 1 Kings chapter 19. Just give you a little context. Look at verse 17. I still hear pages turning. Take your time. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 17. Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Y'all know this text? This is where Elijah is about to throw the mantle and it land on Elisha. "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he went with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father.'" Listen. Listen to similarity. "'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." See that? That is almost the same conversation that this third man says, "I'd follow you, Lord, and I just need to go home and tell mom and daddy bye before I follow you." And so, it's seemingly it's okay in the Old Testament. Elijah, the man of God, said, "Sure, what have I done to you? Go on home and tell your mom and daddy bye." And he goes home, Elisha goes home and takes the oxen and slays them and has a barbecue and feeds the whole town on the oxen. He boiled their flesh and they had a party. And aunts and uncles, and they all come in, and he told them all bye and kissed them and hugged them and said, "I'm going to be a preacher." And he went back and ministered to Elijah, and they were good. No condemnation, no bad word, no negative said. But here Jesus said, for some reason, if you're going to go back and have to tell mom and daddy bye and hug them, any man having put his hand to the gospel plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? What's different? Do you see the similarity in those two scenarios? What's different? I believe those two words, me first. A me first mentality. It says it twice. I don't think God wastes words. Twice in those two verses, two of those men said, "Let me first go bid them farewell. Suffer me first to go bury my father." I believe that terminology and that mindset, that me first mentality and mindset, is so repugnant to God that when we operate in that facet and operate with the mentality that I've got to please myself first and then I'll serve you. And I've got to do what's best for me and mine. And then, I believe Jesus saw that, took note of that, and stopped it. And I believe it's still repugnant to God today. But it's probably one of the most prevalent and biggest problems in the world. And it would be easy from our Baptist church and from our padded pews this evening to point a finger out at the media and the politicians and say, they're just a me-first crowd. They have that me-first mentality. I mean, have you looked across our nation and seen the wickedness and seen the mentality and seen the arguing, bickering, and fighting because everybody thinks their way is best and they are right and it's me first and it's my mentality and they don't care about what you feel. Their feelings matter and they don't care about what we think. Their thinking matters and their thoughts matter. And it's got to be their way. That's how our society sadly operates. And it'd be easy for us to cuss the dark and talk about how bad they're doing. And many do. I'm a political person. I know what's going on. It tears me up, Brother Bill. I hate it. I hate how they do. But you know what? The Lord put his finger on my heart and said, you ain't no different. The church ain't no different. These so-called Christian people that you go to church with ain't no different. Operate the same way, and God hates it.
Amen.
You say, I don't deal with that. Okay, should I back up and just re-preach on pride first and lying?
Yes, sir.
You know what? You was born with it, and so was I.
Amen. Amen.
Was conceived with that mentality, me first.
Amen.
Babies have that mentality.
Oh, my
you don't believe it? Throw a toy between two babies and watch them go at it. Say, if I was tonight, say, hey, the preacher brought candy in tonight, boys and girls. Y'all come on. Well, they would maul each other trying to get the candy. Or if I said, let's bump that on up a little. I got a $100 bill. Who wants it? Well, y'all would knock each other over trying to get the. I'm saying it ain't everybody else that we need to be worried about on this subject. I promise you, you deal with a me first mentality.
Amen.
As well as I do. And I believe it's one of the most corrosive things in the Christian life that there are. Hence, why Jesus was so pointed to say, to a man that just lost his daddy, you got a me first mentality? Let the dead bury the dead. Yeah, it's sharp. That's rough. I think most churches wouldn't let Jesus pastor them. He would cut it tight and preach it right.
Yeah. Amen.
He preached hell twice as much as he did on heaven. Yeah, he was I doubt he'd pastor most Baptist churches. But I'm saying, let's get off of the country and the communities and just look at the church with this problem, which goes right down on into our families. Marriages. Think about how many marriages could be saved if we'd just deal, Brother Jackie, with that me first mentality. It's got to be my way. If we would just esteem somebody else above us in a marriage. And it don't, you know what I was thinking today? It don't kill you to do that. I have been guilty. Oh, good. I have been guilty more times than I want to tell you, Brett Cameron. Getting on the highway. And if you don't think you have, by the way, if you don't think you have a me first mentality or problem, get on the highway.
Yes, sir.
And let four lanes turn into three. And for 30 miles, you say merge left. And if you like me, you wait till the 39th mile, till the very last moment, then you'll dive in. You know why? Because you have a me first mentality. I'm saying, Our church would be so much better if we would just learn to deal with this problem.
Yeah.
Our marriages would be so much better. Our relationship with our children would be so much better.
Amen, sir.
Just think about, the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. There's a difference in teaching and training. What if our children watched us emulate and operate without a me-first mentality and a me-first mindset? That we preferred others and esteemed others and treated others the way we... And they learned that mentality growing up. You don't think that'd make a difference? You know how they get to be such brats? Feeling like the world's owed to them and everything ought to go their way? Because we train them that way.
It's good preaching.
They see mom and daddy do that to each other. And they think that's how they must be. Well, I deserve this. This should be mine. After all, it's me. Our flesh will feed that mentality, and it's natural. It's so natural that we think it's normal. God, what a statement. Yeah. Look. So, the problem. I think we've identified the problem. I guarantee if you look honestly, you want to look far into your life to find this standing up to attention. Fluorescent, bright. It ain't hard to find. In the country of Albania, this is their motto. Listen, this is so us. This so defines what I'm preaching on this evening.
Amen.
This is their motto in Albania. Listen. And this is how we think, this is how we act, this is how we operate. Their motto is, you first, after me.
Wow.
You first, after me. You think about that. So, that's the problem. Let me give you a prescription. I'm just going to give you some verses that the Bible says, this ain't what I think will help us. This is what God says. But Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In order to do that, you have to deal with, and I have to deal with, a me-first mentality. You can't seek Him first if you're seeking yourself first. It's impossible.
Amen.
And you sure can't get to the second part of that verse and seek Him first, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You can't get there while focused on you.
Amen.
You have to go down the totem pole. Jeff Stewart, missionary we supported for a long time, pastors somewhere in Greenville. I remember him saying this a lot of times. It's one of his little mottos. Joy. J-O-Y. You don't have joy? Jesus first, others second, and you third.
Amen.
That's a good way to operate. It's a good way to operate. Well, so Matthew 6:33, Luke 9:23 says, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You say, goodness, I know these verses. What kind of prescription is this? Well, duh, we do know these verses. You've been in church all these years. You ought to know these verses. I know these verses. When's the last time you put it in gear? Oh, it's easy to preach and pretty easy to quote. But putting it in shoe leather and walking in it.
Yeah.
I want to see God take the preached word of God.
Amen.
And put it into your life and change something.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Because if they have no effect, then I'm ineffective.
Yeah.
Amen. Just so you'll have more to be accountable for when you stand before the Lord.
Amen.
That's one of the most serious, dangerous problems that churches that have been established for a long time have. Been in church a long time? Oh, you know. Yeah, I've been in church my whole life too, and I know. We know a whole lot. We're accountable for a whole lot. But we do very little with all that we know. Yeah. Well, I said we're going to identify a problem and then give a prescription. And usually going to the doctor and getting prescribed medicine, I don't like it. And I don't like this prescription too much either, but it'll help us. Yeah. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Could I ask this just by way of application? When's the last time you crucified yourself, died to yourself, reckoned yourself to be dead, mortified your members, and said, Lord, it ain't about me. It's about you today.
Amen.
I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you.
Amen.
I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to take up my cross and follow you. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what Paul said. I'm about to read you a little bit of Paul's testimony that puts this so in perspective. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Paul is about to give just a snapshot of Paul's former life and how Paul thinks now and what Paul looks at now when he looks at life and says, this is valuable, this is not. This is what I have to have. This stuff I don't need.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I think I can learn something from Paul. He had it all. He was at the top of his game. He was a chief Pharisee. I mean, he was at the top. Respected, money. People came to him to learn. He was at the top. And yet, he was willing to go to the bottom for Christ. And I believe that's the key. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, goodness. If I could just take it and cut and copy that little phrase right there in each one of our hearts and minds and have no confidence in the flesh. If this come across your mind tonight, take that little verse right there, that part of that verse. That ain't even a whole verse. It's about a third of a verse. If you thought this, well, he ain't preaching to me. I ain't got no problem with that. Preach it to them, preacher. They need it. Could I quote that to you again? And have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you before you wake up tomorrow, you will be facing in life what I'm preaching. Whether you realize it or not, whether you'll admit it or not, I promise you, the best Christian in here or the worst Christian in here will deal with what I'm preaching. A me first mentality. Have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, Paul said. I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul said, I'm more. If anybody could have confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I'm more. And he's going to give his pedigree. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. Listen to the transition. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, the things that I worked my entire life for, all those nights studying, all those nights learning the law, memorizing the law, verbatim memorizing the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He memorized them. To be in the place he was at as a Pharisee, he had to memorize. Had to fast three times a day. Had to pray three times a day. Had to tithe on all that he had. He had worked hard to get to the place in life that he was at. He had a career.
Yes,
he said, all that I counted as gain. Those things are lost. They're nothing. They're but dung to me. Do you see how he lost a me first mentality? It wasn't about all that he'd worked for, all that he'd saved for, how great accolades he'd got, how many degrees was behind his name. He said, all that's lost. I count myself but lost. That stuff is nothing. That I may win Christ.
Amen.
That is the perfect portrait of somebody who dealt with a me-first mentality. He goes on to say, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of the glory by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Do you see the contrast?
Yes, sir.
Of how we think and what we're taught and what we train our children to be. Succeed, be the best you can be, and all that's great. But far more important, we should be teaching them, die to self, live to Christ. All the things that you could gain is lost. Gain Christ and you win. Because I promise you, you and any of our children will be way more successful if we can get this to them. I promise, in life they'll be more successful if we can get this to them. Because in the end, you lose with a me-first mentality. And you win with a Christ-first mentality. You do. Absolutely. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." That verse right there, I could have come tonight and just read that one verse and said, "All right, you dismiss, go home and practice that." So I'm sincere. And you'd have more to do than you could get done for next Wednesday, I promise. Me too. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Next time your wife says, "What'd you say?" "What'd you say?" "What?" So, I ain't gonna let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Amen.
Vainglory. Me first. My way. I was right. That's vain. No matter who's right. Is it worth the fuss? Is it worth the devastation and the carnage that'll be left over after the fuss? Let nothing, not some things, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I can't believe how they're doing things at the church." Is it worth raising strife over? Now, if I'm doing something that's outside the confines of that Bible, you got a right to raise a hand and say, "Hey, that's a problem." Amen. Come to me and say, "Hey, I don't." But if you don't like the direction I said we're going to go this month, or say, "We're going to support this missionary. We're going to pick this missionary." "Well, I just don't like them or him or them or her." Is that worth causing strife and vain? So you can say, "Ha, I was right." It ain't always about you being right. It ain't always about me being right. Do you know there's been a lot of things? Ask Pastor. I've let go. I've let things go that I didn't feel like was the best thing to do. But I knew and I counted the cost that if I was to stand my ground and die on that hill, it was going to be worth way worse the trouble. If I just prayed, let it set and simmer and let God handle it and not cause a big fight in the church. So by the way, next time you want to gossip and say, "Well, I can't believe he ain't dealt with that yet," it could be that the Lord ain't let me deal with it yet.
Amen.
And who died and left you, Pastor? You got all this sense and know how everything's supposed to go. I promise it's way harder than you think. Every time I think, this is how we're going to move, there's about 15 things come washing in on top of that. And if I make a move that way, it destroys 15 other things. Yeah. It ain't as simple as you think.
Yeah.
You know what I've learned, Brother Ned? Just be still. When he says move, then I move.
Amen.
Just be silent. When he says speak, I speak. I found out he can do way more in the dark than I can do in the light.
Hey,
yeah, that's right. That's right. I didn't come to fix all y'all's problems no way. I hope you didn't come to fix all mine. You'd be busy. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Esteeming others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Just preach on that. So I'm saying, we saw the problem clearly. And if you're so presumptuous and prideful that you ain't saw it tonight in yourself through the mirror of God's Word, you can at least admit you saw what I'm preaching about in somebody else. I hope to the Lord you saw it in you. And I had to preach it. And I knew, oh goodness, here we go, Lord. I knew where this was going. And I knew I was going to get tore up with this. And I did. Because my attitude is, I'm right. And I think that's most people's attitude. That's a problem. Me first. That's a problem. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. At the church. Amen. At your house. Amen. On the job. In the school. Imagine. And I'm talking about we're down to leaving and going home with some of the problem, the prescription. And here's the practice. You take it home and apply it. It's what you do, and it's what I got to do. Otherwise, this message dies on the pew. And what a shame. So, here's your challenge and mine. Go home tonight. And I promise you, you won't have to try hard. It will find you, this mentality. Probably before you go to bed tonight. Your husband will say something. Or your wife will say something. Or your children will say something. And there will be something automatic inside you that will just rise up like the hair on the back of your neck. And you'll just want to fix them and tell them, this is right. This is how. Or maybe on your way home, somehow cut in front of you. I'm simply saying, why don't you try to put somebody else first? This is what I started saying earlier. I've learned this, Brother Jackie. I have passed people on a 2-lane road. Probably on a 1-lane road. Just to get half a mile up the road and me have to turn. What have I gained? I have passed people in traffic and run through the cars just to get on up the road to the red light and have them same cars I just passed pull right up beside me. And then the next red light, they're ahead of me again. What have I gained? About the same thing you gained to win an argument, to prove you're right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, why not let the car go? Keep your testimony. Why not let the fight go? Why not bow your head, humble yourself, and show Christ to somebody?
Hey.
At your job, at your church, in your family. And let's actually be Christians because He saved us to be.
Amen.
Not just have the name.
Amen.
And still have the mentality, me first.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.